Hello and welcome to the Perfect Formula, brought to you by BT Sport Network. Today we're talking about the Hungarian Grand Prix. Tyre degradation, would you agree?
Yeah, it was. It was an interesting race, and yeah, the tactics made it a bit of a topsy-turvy, you know, favourite changing all the way through.
Yeah, no, I certainly when watching it to begin with, I certainly expected Ferrari to come out on top.
At which point? You mean before
the race?
Yeah,
yeah, before the race, yeah. I mean, they certainly looked like the stronger engine in the day, and, well, they've got brilliant starts usually. Which actually leads me to the start. Now, as far as I think, the start was brilliant for Mercedes. I think the start for Vettel wasn't great. What do you think?
I think, yeah, it obviously wasn't great, but you have to consider that he was on the slower tyre at the start, so he wasn't expecting. I think Vettel's only target at the start was to get third place. He didn't have much chance of overtaking a Mercedes. I know the Ferraris make excellent starts. I think the plan was to try and get Raikkonen to split the Mercedes, but I don't think Vettel was competing at the start. It was just maintaining that.
I even think though the usual starting boost that they seem to have didn't seem to be there for Vettel's car, and that wouldn't matter which tyre he was on because that's down to the actual engine. Whether he missed a point where the clutch is at the best position or not. It's dependable, but it seems that he didn't have the best start even on those tyres that he had.
For me, he had a decent start. It wasn't anything special. It was, you know, unless someone had a truly bad start, I don't think there was much else you could have done. It was just one of them things. It was, you know, Hamilton and Bottas both had good getaways. Yeah, it's one of them for me. I don't think it's... I think it's a bit of a moot point. I think getting to third was about as much as he could have done off the start. And as I say, on the harder tyre, the soft tyre.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the start, would you agree that it seems like Mercedes has learnt from past mistakes on the grounds that Bottas went into Hamilton's slipstream this time? And I remember a few races back, Hamilton left his slipstream open, Bottas didn't take it, but Vettel did, and Vettel ended up having an advantage.
There's two things. Firstly, in that particular race, Vettel was right behind Hamilton in third, so was more able to get to it. And yeah, secondly, Bottas, I think there were a bit more team orders. We'll come on to it later, I'm sure. But I think this was the race where we really saw the number one and number two drivers. I think Bottas was aware. I think it was obviously a bit more scripted from Mercedes. And I don't think
it was more he knew from the start he was on defence. He was not going to be racing Hamilton at any point.
His priority was not to gain the lead of the Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. His priority was to ensure a Ferrari didn't pass him. That's what's crucial.
Yeah. I personally believed that the majority of people, as well as Mercedes, were going to be on a two pit stop strategy. Was that the case with yourself? Did you believe that?
I didn't know, to be honest. I thought it was quite it was an in between sort of one, because the Hungarian is a very difficult track to overtake. And track position, you know, it's a bit like Monaco, not as severe as Monaco, but track position was always going to be crucial. If anyone could have eked out a one-stop strategy, they would have done.
Yeah.
As it happened, the tyre wear was a lot lower than people thought it would be.
Than it had been on Friday, yeah. What was interesting actually about the start of the race was the fact that everyone got to choose what tyres they were going to be starting on, which is why we had some split strategies. So it was quite interesting, even on the build-up to the race, trying to work out what tyres would they be starting on, what tyres will they be changing into, and whether it would be a two-stop, one-stop strategy.
Ferrari's strategy on paper was spot on. You've got to think, forget what actually happened in the race.
Yeah.
What they intended to do was start Vettel on the soft tyre, make sure he was third, then put him on the ultra-soft tyre at the end.
Yeah.
for them, if they got Vettel into a battle with Hamilton at the end of the race, Vettel on the fresher tyres chasing down Hamilton, that was as much as they, no matter what strategy they did, that is the best thing they could have possibly achieved, barring safety cars or whatever. That is the absolute best strategy they could have achieved. And but for a slow pit stop, they would have achieved that.
Well, they would have achieved Vettel chasing Hamilton down, but I don't think they would have achieved reaching Hamilton. Hamilton they would had have re- such an advance at that point.
No, I disagree. I think you've got Vettel had a standard pit stop, for argument's sake, let's say Vettel had a standard 2.5 second pit stop and came up ahead of Bottas instead of the 4 point whatever it was. If that had happened, he'd have been about 8 to 10 seconds behind Bottas, something like that. He would have caught Hamilton. Whether he would have overtaken Hamilton's a different question, but he certainly would have been on the back of Hamilton with 10, 15 laps to go. The fact is, it's so difficult to pass.
I'm not 100% sure with that, because Hamilton, even on those worn tyres, was still eking out fastest laps. I mean, his fastest lap was only beaten by Ricciardo.
But that's because Vettel couldn't create a fastest lap because he was stuck behind
even when he was freed from being behind Bottas.
But the race was over at that point. He's not going to push an engine like crazy to try and catch 20 seconds in 4 laps.
In terms of tyre management, actually, I was incredibly impressed with both Bottas's and Hamilton's tyre management. More specifically, Hamilton's tyre management. He managed to last incredibly long on those ultra softs. I think he lasted 25 laps on those ultra softs, which is, in that heat, is astounding, to be perfectly honest. It was certainly predicted he would need to be pitting a lot earlier than that.
Yeah, the tyre management from, I would say, you know, numerous drivers, not just those two, but there were several good drives down the grid. I'm sure we'll come on to them. But the fact is, as you know, I don't want to keep going repeating myself, but because it's so difficult to overtake at this track, looking after the tyres was critical. And you know, the drivers that got good results were the ones that, A, you know, the team did the right thing in strategy, and B, the drivers looked after the tyres extremely well. And yes, Hamilton did, Bottas did, and Vettel did. All three of them looked after their tyres very well.
I mean, talking about the team strategies and everything, whilst Ferrari's strategies might not have been incorrect, perhaps with Raikkonen they were incorrect, because he had two pit stops very close together, actually, for pit stops. They were.
Can I respond to Raikkonen? Yeah. With Raikkonen, his first pit stop, well, Raikkonen was being used as bait.
Yeah.
The first pit stop he pitted, which forced Bottas to pit earlier than natural, which was good. Second pit stop, they knew Vettel was coming in a lap or two laps later. They pitted Raikkonen. There was no strategy behind it other than bait. All they wanted was to Bottas to follow him into the pit to ensure that Vettel were guaranteed second. There was no strategy. And in any case, Raikkonen wasn't finishing any higher than fourth, and no matter what he did.
Well, he did, though.
He did, but I mean, in terms of... Had he just stayed out, he'd have finished fourth.
Yeah.
He'd have finished fourth behind Vettel and the Red Bulls.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of Ferrari as well, it seems like they had a bad day at the office, to be perfectly honest. Raikkonen especially was not very lucky. He had 70 laps with no water, which was interesting. And his radio conversation was quite interesting as well. His engineer didn't seem to quite understand his question.
I think if you had to drive that long without water, you'd be saying, it's a different word. I don't think you'd be saying unlucky. Unlucky. I think you'd be a bit more.
I would be saying that they were incompetent fools, to be perfectly honest, if they forgot to hook up something quite as important as keeping a driver hydrated.
I seem to recall Fernando Alonso actually having an issue. I think it was Ferrari when he was with Ferrari, but he had a water issue, and I think it was Bahrain, and he went about 20, 30 laps in Bahrain without water, and I remember him looking very ill coming out of the car. But yeah, I think it's funny we're saying it's maybe a bad day for Ferrari, and yet their two drivers finished second and third on the grid.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't look the well-polished team that they usually do. That would be my comment. I mean, the reason they were saved was they were saved by the fact that their engine is so fast and good. But if it was a lower team, and they had those same problems. They would lose so many places by the messed up pit stops. I mean, every single pit stop they had was not done correctly. It says a lot.
The pit stop was costly. Vettel's pit stop cost him, I don't want to say it cost him the win, but it cost him the opportunity to get a race win, certainly.
Yeah, I think Hamilton was incredibly strong that race, so I'm not sure whether it'd be...
He'd be winning. All you can say for sure is you can... Well, we can debate if you want about Vettel and Hamilton, whatever, but all you can say... For certain, Vettel would have caught Hamilton. You can say that factually. That is a fact. Whether he'd have overtaken Hamilton is you can debate. Ferrari, when you consider that Vettel started the race fourth and had two Mercedes cars in front of him, the best Ferrari can do is that. There is no other strategy in the world they could have done that would have got him.
Well, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is, you know, if they were a lower team that didn't have quite as good an engine. And they made a lower team made those mistakes. They would be cost a lot of places, if not taken out of the points.
Oh yeah,
by those sort of mistakes. And so it looks unprofessional from Ferrari.
Yeah, of course it does. Of course it does. And as I've said, that it cost him. It certainly has cost him the slow stop. And perhaps Raikkonen could have emerged in front of Bottas earlier in the race. I don't remember if that was a possibility, but. If that was possible, that would have made things very differently.
His first pit stop was quite slow. People were wondering whether he was getting his water fixed at the time.
Yeah.
But no one tried to even go near the cockpit. So evidently there was problems with that first pit stop and they continued throughout. It just doesn't look professional in a top team to have every single pit stop you make in a race have a mistake on it.
I think it's kind of a bit of a moot point. I think the damage for Ferrari was done in qualifying, where because of the rain, because I don't think, you know, as good as Hamilton's lap was to get him onto pole, and well done to him, the Ferraris just aren't competitive in those in the wet conditions. I don't think Hamilton would have got
Raikkonen's time was close to Hamilton's time. He wasn't that far behind in terms of it. I think at this point in time, as with the last race, you need to accept that Vettel is not as good a driver in the wet condition as Hamilton is. I mean, they had the faster car. That was obvious for anyone to see after practice. But also, Vettel, for the first time in the season, got a lower position on the pole than Raikkonen.
Yeah.
In terms of qualifying.
Vettel was, and I think it's to be expected, Vettel was definitely cautious in qualifying. I mean, if you'd have crashed the previous week in a race, in the rain, he was cautious in qualifying. I'm not going to argue with that. But, you know, just making sure he gets forward. He definitely was cautious. I think Raikkonen deserves credit. He looked really up for it. And I think that lap time, I don't think that was... That proves that Ferrari and Mercedes were close. I think that proves that, for me, it was more that Raikkonen did an excellent lap to get anywhere near them.
Right, so I watched an interview with Hamilton after qualification.
Yeah.
Actually, before the race, that talked about the wet conditions of the race. And he was pointing out the different lines he took compared to other drivers and the reasons why there was more traction in everything. And it showcased just how much he understands driving in heavy rain. He understands it to a point that he was taking lines that no one else on the track was taking.
Oh, I'm not disputing that.
I mean, so I think in terms of our own personal argument between ourselves, I am completely vindicated in saying he's a much better driver in the wet than Vettel. The last two races have proved it.
It has.
Whether in qualifying or in the race.
It has. I'm not disputing Hamilton did an excellent lap, but you also... Hamilton did drive an excellent lap and Vettel was cautious on his lap. I'm not... Vettel drove...
What about the previous race?
We discussed that in the previous podcast.
Yeah.
Yes, Vettel made an error and he was
also slower generally beforehand anyway.
Because...
In mixed conditions for weather.
It was mixed conditions, but Vettel was on very old tyres, you have to remember, and Hamilton was catching him at 2 seconds a lap on fresh tyres.
Yeah, but no one else really was speeding up in the rain. Hamilton was.
He wasn't speeding up. He was just going faster.
He was doing fastest laps.
So that is
speeding up by definition, because he was going faster than anyone else had in that race.
Okay, I don't recall him doing a fastest lap, but if he did, fair enough. All I think is that, yes, Vettel was cautious because he crashed in the previous race, and yes, Hamilton drove a very good lap. I don't know what you want from me.
I think you are deluded.
I'm not saying that Vettel's better than Hamilton.
No. But you're refusing to admit that Hamilton is a better driver in a way, and all evidence points towards that.
Okay, in the previous...
I'm not saying he's a better driver in total. I'm saying that in the wet conditions, he's a better driver.
Okay, I will say that Hamilton has drove better than anyone else on the track, including Vettel, in these last two races where there's been wet conditions. However, the Mercedes is certainly more adaptable to those conditions than the Ferrari, which clearly struggles. Vettel had to be more cautious in his qualifying lap. I think anyone would be. I think it's natural when you consider he crashed in a previous race. So yeah, I think to summarise, I think the Mercedes is more suited to the colder and wetter conditions, but Hamilton drove very well.
In discussion with that comment there, did you hear what Toto Wolff said before qualifying this weekend?
I did not.
So what he said whilst he was speaking to some Sky presenters was that the Mercedes is like a British woman. She prefers the cold, she prefers the wet, and she's quite temperamental. Whereas the Ferrari likes the hot, dry conditions.
Yeah.
Which is the case, yes, we're not going to argue against that, but I think the fastest car on the track is going to be an awful car in the hands of someone who's not good in the wet conditions.
Bottas managed to get second, he's nothing special in the wet conditions. We've not seen any evidence that he's an excellent driver in the wet conditions.
He's done well in both wet conditions. He's not really shown any mistakes.
Yeah, but...
As such. We've seen a lot of drivers where the back ends are flicked out and everything because of the wet conditions. Whereas if you look at both those drivers, you don't really see that. I mean, even Raikkonen has a few wobbles with it. And I don't know whether it's maybe Hamilton is pointing out this is the route you need to take, this is how you need to take it, because he knows how to deal with those conditions.
Okay,
I don't think it's down to the car.
I don't think... Suppose Hamilton was in a Ferrari, I don't think Hamilton would have got the car on pole.
I think he would have.
Okay. Well, there's this week's poll then.
I think if you put... Well, yeah, even if you hark back to Button. If you put Button and Hamilton and several other top-level drivers in exactly the same model car... in pouring rain conditions, Hamilton and Button will do better.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with that. But
I think they're both much better in the wet than a lot of other drivers are.
Yeah, I think they are better in the wet, but they Hamilton is helped by having the best car.
Yeah, well, you could say then that the Ferrari's practice laps and how good they did was purely down to the car and not down to the driver.
Yes, and also it was practice, so it's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, but...
The Ferrari had the strongest car this weekend in dry conditions.
Which case, it's shocking that Mercedes managed to beat them.
They beat them because they got lucky in qualifying.
Well, it's not necessarily lucky.
With the weather.
Well, no, everyone knew that the rain was coming.
The weather favoured them, which meant they got top two.
In which case, you could easily say that the weather has favoured Ferrari in several other races earlier this season that have been incredibly hot. That mean that the Mercedes hasn't performed as it should do.
Yeah, you could say that. If qualifying was dry, there is no way either Mercedes gets. You expect a Ferrari 1-2.
Well, no, they seem to have some balance issues as well.
Who do?
Mercedes did in practice.
Yeah, they were
in the hot weather. They were sliding everywhere.
So if those practice conditions or any, you know, say the even race day conditions were in qualifying, there's no way that you're seeing anything other than a Sebastian Vettel win.
Yeah, but I think at the same time that the Mercedes team, considering the conditions of the race, did an incredible feat by the fact that they got Hamilton to the top, even.
What
you know, they kept him at the top throughout that race. which was not something anyone predicted.
No.
Everyone predicted the Ferrari would take them at the first lap.
No, but, you know, as well as Hamilton, you know, you can look back at some of Hamilton's excellent drives. This wasn't one of them.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it was an excellent drive from him.
I don't.
What I'm saying is that the team tactics, the strategy of it all was an incredible feat for Mercedes.
I think the main reason he won was he had an excellent wingman.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if it's fully down to Bottas, but I think it's also down to the team. I think you're being disrespectful to the team if you're not paying credence to them. They deserve a lot of credit for that win, more than the drivers. Well, no, they came up with a strategy. They came up with the whole plan of it. They did the tyre changes and they did them successfully, which is better than what Ferrari did. And to say that it's all down to Bottas is unfair to that team that's worked incredibly hard towards that win. Because let's face it, no one was thinking Mercedes going to win at the end of this race.
The track is extremely difficult to pass, and given how hard overtaking's been in general this season, Mercedes were quite big favourites, like, for me anyway. Perhaps if others disagree, you know, some of the others disagree, and maybe I'm talking with hindsight, but I expected a Hamilton win going into the race. As soon as I saw the tyres and the start, I was pretty confident Hamilton was going to win.
The only way I expected a Mercedes win was if they were able to hold off Ferrari at the first lap. Which they did.
Yeah, so following that, you don't see anything on... That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, no, because I could tell that, you know, Hamilton would have the ability to pull away. He's very good at doing fastest laps, and he's good at tyre management, which is shocking because he used to be awful at it.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't think with the Ferrari tactics, Vettel's not been all that lucky. Well, he's been lucky, but he's not had the best tactics for trying to keep his tyres going for a long period of time. Vettel was not great at tyre management. I mean, the last time we saw him do a long stint on softs, he almost ended up careening into a wall because his tyres were so worn, they looked like they were going to pop any second, and he looked like a jittering mess afterwards from how long he'd been out on those tyres.
I also recall a race earlier in the season where Vettel was on a one stop, and the Mercedes team thought it impossible for him to finish the race on that set of tyres and expected.
Yeah, and that's the one where he ended up being a jittering mess at the end. Yeah, yes, but he won.
He won on a set of tyres which went about 20 laps further than Pirelli expected.
Yeah. I'm not disregarding that. What I'm saying from that is it seemed to me that he'd used up all of his luck in regards to that. Took a good dealing of luck for those tyres not to explode on him. To put it bluntly.
Okay.
I mean, he even said they were seconds away from it. He felt they were going to go at any corner. So, you know, you've got to say, there's only a certain amount of luck you get in regards to things. So that's what my reasoning was in regards to that.
At the time, you said it was an excellent drive from Vettel.
Well, no, I did.
Got a podcast recording of it.
I'm saying it was an excellent drive, but I'm also saying that when it comes down to things like that, luck does play a part, and you only get given a certain amount of luck.
And the fact that Hamilton has come in to the winter break 24 points ahead, he's had an incredible amount of luck over the last two races.
I don't believe that that's luck. I mean, in the last race before Hungary, that was purely down to skill. That was nothing to do with luck. That was due to skill. And if you're going to say, oh, it's because of the wet conditions, it's an outdoor sport, and therefore there are going to be differing weather conditions. You can't lay that on luck. That is due to skill.
Okay.
I mean, come on, Vettel had a powerful car in the wet and he crashed it.
He made a mistake. Yeah. I'm not arguing with that.
So, you can't say that. And also, throughout this season, Vettel has made four mistakes as far as not team mistakes, his own individual mistakes. Hamilton has made no individual mistakes.
Has he not?
No, he's not. He's not crashed out. He's not, you know, caused himself any harm. The only incidents he's had with other cars have been caused by other drivers.
He's not had many battles with other cars, though. Apart from last week's race, I don't recall any race where, in Germany, I don't recall any race which Hamilton has overtaken people and won an exciting race, anything other than a leading from first lap to victory. I don't think Hamilton's done that. Apart from...
He is
last week in Germany.
Plenty of races though where he's climbed his way through the track and got himself into third or fourth position from right at the bottom of the track, whether at the start or whether from an incident like Raikkonen crashing into him, where he's climbed his way through and he's shown an incredible amount of ability and skill in doing so and also not causing any incidents.
I can think of occasions where Vettel has overtaken Red Bulls on several occasions. He's overtaken Bottas on a few occasions. He's overtaken Hamilton on track as well.
And Hamilton has also overtaken Raikkonen. He's overtaken the Red Bulls. He's overtaken Vettel, I believe, at least once.
I don't recall him overtaking Vettel in any race. All right, fine. We'll put a poll up over the summer break. Mm-hmm. Who deserves to be top of the championship based on the season so far? Vettel or Hamilton?
Okay.
And you want Bottas as well, don't you?
Yeah, and Bottas.
And Bottas. So we'll put those three
in. I feel if we're talking about drivers being unlucky, you've got to point the finger at Bottas.
Yeah. No, he has. He's been very unfortunate this season. And it's a bit... I hope we can move on from that. But yeah, it is. It's a bit sad that he was the wingman role.
Yeah, no, he wasn't very happy with that comment from Toto Wolff, to be perfectly honest. He said it made him quite sad that he was classed as the wingman. But I think at this point in the championship, with the gulf between his own points and his fellow driver's points, he has got to accept that he is in the position of wingman.
Yeah, he has got to accept that. I know his comments immediately after, he said it hurts. He then clarified after on social media, saying that he knew what Toto Wolff meant and he didn't just see him as a wingman.
Yeah.
But for this season, his title hopes, unfortunately, because there's been numerous occasions where he's sort of been unlucky at the end of races.
Yeah.
And, you know, a different year, he could be...
He could be
close.
The championship.
He could be, like, well, maybe not leading, but he could be, you know, in between Hamilton and Vettel. You know, he could be up there. And, yeah, he's been unlucky on numerous occasions. And to say he was a wingman, you know, when you consider his performance in Hungary, for 20, 25 laps, he held off Sebastian Vettel, which, as, I don't want to completely, you know, keep going back, but that was a factor, at least, to Hamilton's win, and I think quite a big factor, but anyway, I digress. Just call him a wingman is perhaps for his important role is probably the right word, as much as it sounds harsh.
Yeah, maybe, well, it sounds better than support driver, which is essentially the role he has now for the rest of his championship season.
I think the second half of the season, after the break, I think we'll be seeing it'll be much more of the Vettel Hamilton show, and I think Bottas and Raikkonen will be much more.
It's a shame they don't hand out an award at the end of Formula One the season for the best support driver or the best defensive driver, because then at least Raikkonen and Bottas would have something to fight over.
I think Alonso might win that if that was an award.
What a defence driver. He's not defending anyone. He's the lead
driver on his team. I was thinking more... I see what you're getting. You're about like a protector, like a guardian.
Yeah, I was meaning like... You know how in the Tour de France they've got different jerseys for someone that's the king of the mountains sort of thing? Mm. I think Formula One should have like an award for... you know, because they now legalise team orders. They should have an award for the best support driver.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I suppose...
Which is essentially what Bottas and Raikkonen are.
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah, one of those two could win it. I don't see the Red Bull driver winning that award.
Oh, no, they fight it out far too often, and they're relatively close in the points. I think Verstappen is now a bit lower, because he's had a few incidences, whereas cars not
well,
work.
Well, wasn't this the fifth... going on to Verstappen, wasn't this the fifth time this season... Red Bull's had an engine failure in a race.
Something along those lines, yeah. You can see the frustration in both Red Bull and Verstappen. Verstappen went out because his engine failed. Mm. Van der Doorn, who is also in a Renault engine, went out because he had a faulty gearbox. And Verstappen's comments on the radio were quite amusing, to be perfectly honest, because he said something along the lines of, "Can't I just continue driving until it fucking blows up?"
Yeah.
Which says everything about how much he respects the engine, really. and he wasn't very happy with his engineer's response that no, he had to stop the race now. And he went on a rant about how it was not very good and that the turbo is always the problem.
But how can you blame him? I mean,
yeah.
Had it not been for this atrocious engine, I think the Red Bull's car on paper, you know, in terms of chassis, is probably up there. And if they had a Ferrari or a Mercedes engine, they'd certainly be competing for race wins and, you know, competing for the championship even.
I think with this race in particular, with how Verstappen was doing, I think he would have been challenging Raikkonen. That's as blunt as I can get. With how much Bottas was holding up the Ferraris, he would have had a good shot at both of them. And then with Bottas's meltdown at the end, he would have had a good shot of being on the podium.
Oh, he would have done, yeah. Of course he would have done.
If it wasn't for this engine problem.
Well, the funny thing is that the Hungary racetrack suits the Red Bulls because it's such a tight track. And, yeah, they should have, they could have had something. I mean, looking at his teammate Ricciardo, he started 12th on the grid. At the start, he had some contact with another driver and went even further down the grid. And yet still comes up to finish fourth in
and
the
end. And on soft tyres to begin with for quite a while.
Yeah, actually. Correct. He was on the soft tyres, but...
So he was on slower tyres and he was still taking the majority of the...
Well, yeah, there's two ways to look at it. You can go back to my earlier point that the gap between the top three teams and the rest is so large, it's ridiculous. But, you know, in its own take that drive in its own merit to get up to fourth, starting 12th, ended up going down, is pretty reasonable damage limitation for him.
Right, so you admit it for Ricciardo, but you don't admit it for Hamilton.
Well, there was nothing more Ricciardo could have done. He's not going to finish ahead of a Mercedes or a Ferrari. I don't want to go back to the Vettel-Hamilton debate because I think we did that to death. And you're listening to this on the podcast, an edited version.
Yeah, so talking about Red Bull being frustrated with the engines as well, we heard comments from Christian Horner on the radio to the commentators where they were discussing the fact that the engine has once again failed. And Christian Horner made a comment along the lines of, well, you know, as you mentioned, we're spending millions on these engines and they're not achieving, they're not performing, they're not delivering the service they're meant to be. So it does sound like Red Bull will be discussing with Renault about the situation. I saw on a comment that he mentioned something about the fact that the engines were underpowered, that the units just weren't good enough, they were second class essentially. And so you can see why Red Bull will be complaining to Renault.
Oh, of course they will, and this is where F1 has to do something, because Ferrari and Mercedes are not going to supply Red Bull with an engine that makes them, you know, of similar quality. Why would they? But there is no... Where are Red Bull supposed to go? They've got nowhere else to go. They could take a Renault engine or they can take a Honda engine. Either leads them with no chance.
Yeah.
F1 have got to do something. And the next cycle of rules is 2020, I believe, or 2021.
Yeah.
I think it's 2020. But the FIA have got to come up with some sort of system. Obviously, Ferrari and Mercedes are going to oppose this because they want
whether it's that they give monetary rewards for teams that produce their own engines. I mean, Red Bull would have difficulty with that on the grounds that they don't actually have a car manufacturer backing. I mean, McLaren could do with building their own engines, to be perfectly honest. I understand it's very expensive, but given how much, well, given the fact that they hand build supercar engines, you would think it would make sense for them to build their own Formula One engine, especially considering the advertising they're getting at the moment is poor. I mean, they're on Renault engines, they're not performing, and it doesn't look good for a supercar company that prides itself on its engines.
Yeah, the problem, as I say, it's the sheer cost of producing a Formula One engine.
Which is why I suggested maybe they should have a monetary reward for teams that do provide their own engines.
But would that not just favour the richer teams? You know, a team like Force India, let's say, who I'm sure we'll come on to later. But, you know, even to get a monetary reward down the line, there's no way they could produce their own engines. Well, is that not just making it easier
for... What's the other option then, that we go to Formula 2 where the engines are supplied? Where they're the same base model?
It's a possibility. It wouldn't happen because Ferrari and Mercedes wouldn't let it happen. They would they would vote against
it. I'd argue it would be less interesting if it was all the same base model, especially considering Formula 2 and Formula 3 are currently having issues because they share the same engine. Well, everyone has the same engine unit, has the same unit in total, and they're having multiple engine failures throughout races because there's problems, there's gearbox issues, there's engine issues that aren't getting fixed because it's a general basic engine. It's not down to that team. They can't tweak it. They can't change it.
Yeah.
And therefore, they've got failings and it's happening to everyone, so they can't race fully.
No, I agree with you that the different competitive engines does add an element to F1. I mean, you look back, they did trial racing formula with all the F1 drivers, but driving in identical cars. And it was boring. Nobody watched it. You know, you do need that differential in cars. But there needs to be an equaliser of some sort. They can't be as different as they are. And there does have to be a competitive engine. Not necessarily the best engine, but a competitive engine has got to be available to any team. Whether that's an independent engine, which Ross Brawn's mentioned, an independent company who just work for the FIA and produce a decent engine for Formula One.
But the argument then would always be, considering the fact that that would be a base model, it's not going to be as powerful as those cars those engines that are manufactured independently.
No, they wouldn't be. But what I'm trying to say is,
you still end up with the same problem.
I'm saying it's not as good, but it's a reasonable engine that is competitive, is the idea.
Yeah. But, I mean, the reasonable engine that is competitive in Formula 3 and Formula 2, that is beset with reliability issues, just like the Renault engine is. And that's the problem with the Renault engine. It's not due to a lack of power generally, it's due to a lack of reliability. And because the Formula 2, Formula 3 engine is, everyone uses it, they don't see the reason to fix it fully. You know, the reliability issue is not getting better because there's no incentive to fix it.
Yeah.
That's the argument at the end of the day. At least Renault has a incentive to fix it because they've got their own team.
Yeah.
They've got their own team, so they want to fix it for their team. And any upgrades they have to do, well, they have to pass on to the teams that have bought the engine from them.
Yeah.
Look,
we might see a competitive Renault and car. I think if I had to sign for an F1 team, other than Mercedes and Ferrari, I would sign for Renault. I think they're the ones with the potential to mix it up if they can produce a good engine.
Yeah, it does look like Sainz is trying to build them into a team along with Hülkenberg. They look like they're trying to build it into a long-term plan rather than a...
Well, I do wonder about Carlos Sainz, how long-term he sees his future at Renault, because there's a lot of talk he might be ending up going to McLaren.
Yeah.
If Fernando Alonso, or even if Van Dorn, because Van Dorn hasn't really impressed.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of Hülkenberg, though, definitely he's looking long-term with Renault. He's not looking at any other team. He seems to think that any possible interest in him from the bigger teams is long since gone.
Yeah, well, from his point of view, I mean, you wouldn't...
There's not a space for him.
If I wouldn't, unless Mercedes come knocking, there's no point in leaving Renault.
He's the same age as Hamilton and Vettel. He's in the same age group. So it's not like he's going to be able to take their positions once they're too old to drive. In fact, Vettel only beat Hamilton to being the youngest champion by 6 months because Hamilton is born in summer and Vettel is born in December. But either way, Hülkenberg doesn't see a future for him in a big team because, well, all their places are full and he is in the same age group as Hamilton and Vettel, so it's not like he can outage them.
It's a bit disappointing for him for his career, really, because he's been a great driver over the years, and it's a bit unfortunate, really, because I'd have liked to see him get a go in a big team.
I think he missed an opportunity early on, I imagine. That's the sad thing.
He wasn't liked by teams before because of his height, because he's quite big for a driver, and that was seen as an issue for him. But in terms of talent, it's hard to compare him, really, if we're being completely fair. It's hard to compare him to, say, Vettel or Hamilton because he's not had a chance in a big team. But outside of those at the top three teams, you've got Hülkenberg, Alonso, Who else? Leclerc potentially, but not now.
Gasly potentially.
Again, potential, but not now.
Magnussen's doing well.
Yeah, Magnussen's doing well. Magnussen's having a good season. Outperforming his teammate, who was seen as the better driver.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk about the other teams and the other positions, so we have, obviously, Bottas was in fifth after Ricciardo. Gasly was in sixth, which is an amazing position for him in the Toro Rosso.
What was impressive about his drive, actually, and, you know, you can laugh at this, but he finished sixth and he didn't get lapped. He didn't get lapped, which, for a car that isn't one of the top teams, to not get lapped in a race is an achievement, unless it's safety cars or what have you. But
McLaren must really be kicking themselves, because that was with the Honda engine.
well, a point on Toro Rosso, actually. They performed very well, both drivers and... Brendan Hartley, who I don't particularly rate, but he had a good qualifying session.
I think
session.
He was in 12th or something in the race. At the end.
Where he was in the race, I can't remember. Yeah, no, but the point I'm making is in qualifying, both the Toro Rossos made the top 10.
Yeah.
Gasly, I think, was he 6th or 7th? In any case.
I think he was 6th. I think he kept his position, essentially, throughout the whole race.
And also, Brendan Hartley was, I believe, 8th or 9th. In any case, it was a very good qualifying for them. Both drivers did very well in what was challenging conditions. Their stock's going to rise. And Gasly, a superb 6th place. And he's, again, you know, going back to what I said before, he's shown glimpses of being potentially a very good driver. And all he can do is drive well in a Toro Rosso. If Verstappen or if Ricciardo leave... Which may happen if an opportunity comes at the big teams. Gasly will get the spot at Red Bull, and I don't think anyone would argue with that. Anyone would begrudge him that, and that's all he can do.
Yeah, I mean, Magnussen came in 7th. Interestingly enough, Grosjean came in 10th, so 3 positions behind his supposedly secondary teammate.
I think with Grosjean, though, he gets a lot of stick, and we've quite rightly given him a lot of stick. However, he's got 3 points finishes in the last 4 races.
Yeah.
Had he not had a decent couple of races, he'd have gone into the summer break with, you know, no points or hardly any points.
Yeah.
He got a very good 4th place a few races ago, and he's finished in the points again today. So let's not have a go at him.
Yeah,
for
I'm not going to have a go at him. Do you think he's finally switched on?
I think he's improved. Yeah, it was a mixture of things. It was mistakes. It was luck not falling for him. I think now it's falling for him a bit more, particularly, you know, with the 4th. I think maybe he switched on a bit. Maybe he's a bit more, but, you know, you've got to think, right, if we go all the way back to the start of the season, I think he'd have potentially got a podium. Him and his teammate were just, were in the top, you know, in big points, and both of them had pit stops screw them over if you go right back.
Yeah.
And they've been
to the
on
first race, yeah.
But this is what I'm saying, it's not just purely Grosjean's made mistake after mistake. It's been a mixture of him being unlucky, the team screwing up, and him making some mistakes, most notably the funny, hilarious crash behind a safety car.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Magnussen's been the better driver this season.
Oh yeah, of course he has, yeah.
Yeah. Alonso came in 8th, which was a good birthday present for him.
Yeah, and also Van Dorn could have finished in the points on another day, and McLaren got their strategy right. A similar strategy to Vettel was what they did. They went long on the softer tyres and then went to super soft.
Yeah.
And a lot of drivers hadn't realised Alonso had jumped them. I remember a radio message from someone behind, I think it was Sainz, but someone, they were surprised.
Yeah, I mean, Sainz was 9th.
Yeah.
So not the best, but not the worst.
It was more down to... He didn't make a good start, for one. He started 5th.
Yeah.
He made a poor start, but then following that, this is where strategy comes in. It was down to bad strategy.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong, per se, himself. It was just the team didn't give him the right strategy.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to talk about drivers that show potential, Leclerc. Now, he had a bad qualifying. I think that's most likely due to the weather. He's not practiced in wet conditions. He didn't do well in the last race, which was mixed conditions. And in the full wet, he didn't do well.
No, he's not. He's had 2 sketchy races. I think the race, in qualifying he struggled, but the race, I don't think he did a lot wrong.
Oh, no. In the race itself, he was just unlucky. A piece of debris from Force India got into his radiator. So it just...
The only thing I would say is, yeah, until the last two races, he's had an excellent season. It's perfect timing for Raikkonen, because Raikkonen's got podiums pretty consistently recently and driven, has improved. You know, in the summer break is presumably when the Ferrari will confirm their second driver for next season. It's absolutely perfect timing for Raikkonen to be in probably the best form he's been in.
Yeah.
And Leclerc to have a bit of a rough patch.
I think with Leclerc, for the last two races, has shown his inexperience. It's not bad driving talent. It's a lack of experience in a Formula One car in those conditions. I mean, it is going to be a difficult transfer from Formula 2 to Formula 1 in wet conditions. The amount of power you've got in that unit of the car is a lot stronger than what you've got in a Formula 2 car. And as such, you know, extreme weather conditions are going to throw you as a new driver. So maybe next season we'll see a little bit more promise from him in those sort of conditions. But I think it's just shown a weakness in inexperience.
Oh, of course it is. Any drivers, you know, all drivers are inexperienced when they start out. That sounds like I'm stating the obvious, but, you know, everyone's got to start somewhere.
I think it's just reminded people that he's inexperienced.
Yeah.
That's the difference, because everyone else before was, you know, saying he's amazing. And it's just reminded them he is the new kid on the block and he doesn't quite understand the car fully yet. Certainly not in conditions that he's not used to. He doesn't quite understand it. And that's nothing against him. You know, people learn from their mistakes. But I think it's just reminded everyone, you know, he is inexperienced. He is the new kid on the block.
Yeah.
For that one. So, yeah. Talking about mistakes, Bottas. He had a few of them. He had an amazing race up until lap 65, where when Vettel took him, Bottas tried to gain his place back by going to the inside, and it seemed like he completely forgot about how degraded his tyres were. What do you think?
I thought he was crazy. I thought it was crazy. I think, firstly, yeah, the incident with Vettel, you know, it was clear that Vettel made the overtake and he should have yielded, but he carried on fighting. Perhaps whether he's took the team orders to heart and he's thinking, because they've
defend
obviously told defend at all costs, even if that means you get a penalty. I do wonder, and I believe Julian Palmer for the BBC brought it up. He didn't take him out, but had Bottas had caused Vettel to go out of the race. Vettel actually brought it up. I didn't say brought it up, it's incorrect. He was asked it in a question. Had Bottas had taken Vettel out of the race, how much controversy would that have caused? It was crazy driving. And then after that, his fight with Ricciardo, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the incident on lap 68 with Ricciardo, I think that was also, once again, it seems to be he's pushing so hard there to try and keep position, to try and defend, that he's completely forgetting just what state his tyres are in. It's the sort of defensive movement you can make if your tyres are in good shape. If your tyres are in good shape, yes, you can make that defensive manoeuvre. But with how his tyres were, you know, he was essentially skating.
Yeah,
he can't make those defensive moves with those tyres. And I think he just forgot.
And also,
in the heat at the moment.
And also, he picked up wing damage in the when he collided with Vettel. Yeah. So he was driving a damaged car with severe tyre degradation, and Ricciardo's behind him on fresh tyres. He just had to let him go. He shouldn't have defended. And then after that, the team tell him to allow Ricciardo past, and he refuses. Ricciardo got past anyway.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, well, for my money anyway, he wasn't compliant. I don't know what you think.
Having listened to the radio, no. I think he was possibly distracted whilst he was talking on the radio, actually, and that's what gave Ricciardo the opening.
Just to point out that any radio messages display we hear are on a 30-second delay, so he would have been told that, not on the straight, he'd have been told that several corners before.
Oh, right, okay. I don't know. It did look like he didn't fight it as much as he could have at the end, but I don't know if that's because he finally realised how worn his tyres were. I take back a comment I've made frequently, which is that Bottas has no fight or fire. I think this race, has shown he's got fight and fire. In the fact that, one, he's been ignoring his team orders, and two, he did make those attempts to keep that position in places where he shouldn't have, because it seemed like he almost had the red mist going on.
Do you know what it reminded me of? You remember the season where Rosberg won the World Championship, where he absolutely refused to let Hamilton pass him on any occasion through... You know, even if it meant colliding with the driver. It kind of reminded me of that.
He was that determined.
Yeah. Perhaps to his detriment, you know, which caused mistakes.
Yeah, like but... I said, I think it, you know, almost it looked like he had the red mist. He decided he was going to have that position, and he got so worked up about it, he just completely forgot about the state of his car.
Mm.
Which, of course, is not a good thing.
No.
But it did seem like he, forgot about the state of his car. Mm-hmm. Which is... unfortunate, and he's lucky he didn't cause more severe incidents, to be perfectly honest.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We mentioned earlier Force India. It has been announced that they are in administration.
Uh-huh.
Possible buyers are lined up, including Lance Stroll's dad, which is interesting. Does that mean Lance Stroll's position in Williams is not secure?
I'd say that, I'll come on to Williams and Lance Stroll in a minute, but with Force India, with because Perez has basically taken the team to court, he's done that not because he wants money, he wants to pay the team. Well, he wants to, and also it prevents more worse creditors, in quotes. I'm aware you can't see me doing quote marks on the podcast. It stops worse creditors from taking them to court as well. So he's done it to try and help the team. But yeah, it's worrying times for Force India, because they were once a competitive team. They were nowhere this weekend. And you mentioned Williams. Williams have been nowhere all season. And, you know, because of how poor the Williams car is, how can we possibly... say that Lance Stroll or Sergio Sirotkin, for want of a better, how can we possibly say they are good or not good drivers, because their car has been an absolute disaster?
Yeah, and they've never been too far away from each other in the points, they've never been too far away from each other in the placings, we'll say.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it suggests that neither driver is at fault.
Oh, no.
I mean, normally you can see if a driver is excelling, doing better than the other one, you can generally say, well, that driver's a better driver. But with Williams, you can't say that.
I'd say perhaps with Lance Stroll, he's a bit fortunate to be there. He showed a few decent races. I think people were a bit too hyped up about him last season when he was with Massa.
Mm.
I think people got a bit overexcited about him having some all right races, and it got blown out of proportion.
He is quite young though as well.
He is young, but I think he's there because of for financial reasons.
Yeah.
And I don't see him, unless a team like, say, Force India needs a pay driver, I don't see Lance Stroll getting another contract. Based on talent, that he gets another car, because
that's why I'm wondering whether, you know, Lance Stroll's dad's looking at Force India.
Well, yeah, but teams always, well, I say always, with the current state of Formula One, teams need pay drivers. Some teams need pay drivers. Whether Lance Stroll's dad is at Force India or not doesn't change that for me.
So finally, we're going to go to the results. Hamilton is now 24 points ahead, going into the summer holiday. That's almost a race win.
Yeah.
Ahead. How do you think he's looking in terms of championship?
I don't want to go back, because we've done this.
Well, no. I'm not saying in terms of what's happened. I'm saying in terms of future.
I think that, you know, it's far from over. You know, the top two drivers, you know, obviously everyone else is out of championship reckoning. It's only the two of them.
Yeah.
It is a gap, but, you know, Hamilton could quite easily crash out of the first race back in Spa. You know, it is a lead, but it's not... Or he can have an engine failure, for argument's sake. I'm not saying he's going to have a mistake. That's not the point I'm trying to make. the point I'm trying to make is it did not finish because of an engine failure or whatever. It's a gap, but the title race is far from over.
Well, yeah, my main thought process there is always that if you remember last season, Ferrari didn't do quite as well in Asia as Mercedes did.
Yeah.
It seemed the tracks are better suited to the Mercedes car. So I think it is going to take some driving from Vettel in order to win the championship.
Spa and Monza, possibly the US track, Austin, are all Ferrari tracks. Especially the two, Spa and Monza.
But the other five are Mercedes.
No, I would say Singapore is more of a Ferrari track. Singapore is a Ferrari track. It is.
Mercedes did incredibly well on Singapore last year.
Yeah, that's because Vettel skittled everyone. Can you not remember? That was the one which Vettel skittled everyone. That wasn't because Mercedes were faster.
Driver error, wasn't
it? No, he was unlucky.
Well, either way, I think it's going to be close.
Okay, that's revealing. Alright.
I think it is going to be close. I think it's going to take quite a bit of driving from Vettel. And, you know, we haven't seen really any Ferrari reliability issues this year, so maybe they're due some. There's always going to be reliability problems in anything that requires engineering. So it's statistically an anomaly if you have a team that doesn't have any reliability problems in a year. So you could argue Ferrari's possibly due some. Mercedes has had quite a few reliability problems this year. Whether they'll continue or whether they've ironed them out or not is a different matter. You would hopefully argue that Red Bull has had their share of reliability issues, but considering that the Renault engine seems to keep propping up problems, and we've had one race where they've had three retirements of Renault engines because of problems. Well, it doesn't look good.
Look, yeah, it is. They're probably gonna have more engine failures and more frustration and more sweary radio message from Verstappen. All I hope for the second part of the season. I hope we get some good racing. But I just want to see some more battles for wins between Hamilton and Vettel, because I can only recall one occasion where the two have been on track fighting for position.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, it's either that Vettel's way ahead or Hamilton's way ahead in terms of, getting that. I mean, we've not really... Well, we see 1-2s from them, but generally there's quite a gap between the two of them.
Yeah, I hope we see more of them two fighting for a win. I can only recall once where they were together in a race.
So you need some safety cars then?
Yeah, let's artificially put in set away.
You need some safety cars then?
Well, not necessarily. You just want two drivers, you know. I think Bottas and Raikkonen will fall away a bit, and I think the second part of the season will be all about Vettel versus Hamilton. It'll all be hyped up by the media as that, and that's what it'll be. I think that because of that, I think them two will end up being the top two more often, and I think we'll see more battles. I hope we do anyway. I hope that's right.
Yeah, it all depends, because the problem is that there aren't really any tracks that have got the two engines on equal footing.
No.
Either the Mercedes engine is really good, or the Ferrari engine is really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's no track that really is a middle ground between the two of them. If there was, then the Red Bulls would be loving it. But, I do think at the moment, either a track suits Ferrari or a track suits Mercedes.
As such,
there's always a gap between the two of them.
Yeah.
So that's all for tonight. As of now, it is a 4-week summer break until Spa. But you can follow us on The Perfect Formula at Twitter, which is at Perfect Formula 1.
How many tweets are on it?
5.
You'll have to do some more tweeting.
Yeah, we'll do a poll, which is who deserves to be the leading in the championship at the moment, Vettel or Hamilton or Bottas. we would do who's been more unlucky this season poll, but I think Bottas would win that by far. Mm. Okay, so that's all for tonight. Do remember to follow us on Twitter. We may tweet. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Good night.